When I made the decision to refire and play big again, remember I started off by saying sometimes you have to close a door for other doors to open, right? And boy, did they for me. Well, I had closed a door of playing big because I was suffering. And I still miss my son every day. But when I made that decision that there was more for me to do, say there's more for me to do. No matter what your age, there's more for you to do. And once I made that decision, things started happening for me.
Podcasting from WealthWave Studios in Atlanta, Georgia, this is Leadership Now, the official vision and strategy podcast of WealthWave.
Global financial literacy expert and New York Times bestselling author, Ms. Sharon Lecter.
Thank you. Thank you so much. What an incredible morning. I love what I've been seeing. Don't you love what they're providing for you guys? Wow. It's wonderful. I'm gonna sign up. Don't all rush me at once, please. So I want to start with all the experts in the room standing up for me. All of you should be standing. Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. You've had to go have a journey to get in this room. You know more than 95% of Americans as it relates to money. You are an expert. Say, I am an expert.
I am an expert.
Say it again.
I am an expert.
And then the power of words. I want you to take that word and replace it with the. I am the expert.
I am the expert.
And say it with a smile.
I am the expert.
Yes, you are. And say to your neighbor, yes, you are.
Yes, you are.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And if you know, those of us that are up here are here today to serve you because you truly are the experts. And you're on the front line of the wealth wave. I love that name. Love it, love it. So I am absolutely delighted to be here, and thank you for that introduction. Most people do think of me as an author, because yes, I've written a few books, millions of words, right? But my goal in life is that of an entrepreneur, helping people create financial freedom in their life. So we share the same goal. My mission has been through financial education. Yours is also financial education, but also offering the tools to get there. So it's a one-stop shop, and I love it. But today I'd like to tell you a little bit more about my story, just so you can get to know me a little bit better and find maybe something in my life that you can use in yours as you continue on this journey. Now, I grew up in a very lower middle class home. Neither my dad or my mom had a high school diploma. My dad went on to run the engineering school for the Navy, so he was a pretty smart dude, self-trained. But we lived in a little small house between my mother's beauty shop and my dad's used car lot. We had real estate rental properties that I had to go scrub out the bathrooms between tenants, and we had orange groves. I hated it. I swore I would never be an entrepreneur. I was going to be a sophisticated professional. So I went to college. My sister and I were the first generation to go to college, got my degree in accounting. I was going to be a partner at one of the big eight accounting firms. Fast track, raising through the ranks. And about the ripe old age of 25, do you remember being 25 and how smart you were? Some of you aren't there yet, but yeah. All of a sudden, my parents started looking a whole lot smarter. And I was like, if I'm gonna work this hard, I should be working for me, not for everybody else. How many of you felt that way? Yeah. It's worth an applause. Yeah, we should be working for ourselves. And about that same time, I had a phone call. Now, this is a common theme today. Every phone call can change your life. From one of my clients saying, Sharon, I'm going to buy into this company. I want you to come with me. I own a piece of the rock. And I was like, So I went back to my wonderful condo in Atlanta, Georgia. It was wonderful being a single woman in Atlanta. And going, got the old yellow legal pad. This was before phones, pads, or computers. And did the whole pro and con. You guys, any of you ever do that? It didn't help me a bit. I could argue both sides. I had the accountant, conservative side, and then I had that entrepreneur, risk taker, and most of my life I felt pretty schizophrenic about that. But then my hand kind of took off and wrote across the top of the page, why not? Say why not?
Why not?
Why not? It has become my mantra in my life, and I share it with every group I speak to. We hear about finding your why, your passion. That's important. But when you ask the universe why, you're giving up your power. You're waiting for someone to give you an answer. When you say, why not? Why not take the road less traveled? Why not keep books in your trunk? I love that. I always have books in my trunk, yes. Why not share what you know with the people whose lives can improve by what you have to offer? Why not take that action? So today I'm going to talk a little bit about the personal success equation and the power of association and how to energize yourself and the people around you to create the greatest success you deserve. And first I'm going to talk a little bit more about my story, because I made that decision to leave public accounting. How many of you have made a business mistake? Let me see. Raise your hands. Oh, there's a few perfect people in the room. All right. Well, it was the worst business decision of my life, even today, 40 years later. I got there and found all kinds of corruption in the company. And I'm going, oh my gosh, I'm going to lose my license. So I ran away for a couple of weeks to try and figure out what my next step was going to be. And I came back, and Napoleon Hill said, out of every adversity, every mistake, comes a seed of an equal or greater benefit. Well, when I came back, the company had been involved in some litigation, and I met a young attorney named Michael Lechter. And this is our 40th year together. So every adversity, I got instant feedback. Now, my worst business decision became my best life decision. Now, sometimes it takes years to figure out what the benefit is. But every adversity, every mistake is a learning opportunity. So we got married, had children, and I got passionate about the kids, and my kids and their friends didn't like to read. So I met the inventor of the very first talking children's book. How many of you remember these? This is back in 1987, when bookstores were very quiet little places with little old ladies saying, get out of here, we don't want noise in the bookstores. So I tell all my techie friends, a few of them are behind this curtain here, pretty impressive back there, that I truly had the first disruptive technology. But we said, you know, we need parents to trust us, just like you. People want to do business with people they know, like, and trust. And so kids had no electronic toys. So how can we build that trust and confidence that parents want to work with us? So we reached out and we partnered with Disney, Warner Brothers, Sesame Street, just like WealthWave is partnering with some of the top financial institutions, so that we could have that brand excellence and that trust. As a result, we were so thrilled. We sold $1 million worth of books the first year, pretty good. Second year, 9. 23 million. Fourth year, 52 million is the year we sold the company. And it was because we understood the power of association, the power of brand excellence. Every aspect of every business needs to pay attention to the power of association and the power of brand excellence. And so we sold that company in 91. We moved down to Arizona at the time. And our oldest son went off to college. He came home in December and said, "Mom, Dad, I need some help." He was in credit card debt. I couldn't believe it. I taught him about that. We didn't even know he had a credit card. When he went to college, they had these tables saying, "Free money, free t-shirt, right? Free pizza, free money." Boy, did they get these kids signed up. He had already blown through a $2,500 savings account. There's a few parents out here that are going, "Oh, that's my story." And $2,500 in credit card debt. He had a really good time his first semester in college. $5,000. He asked us to bail him out. We said, what did we say?
No.
Say it a little louder, parents.
No.
We made him get out. We're not always making the right decisions. That was just a one-time occurrence. But we didn't bail him out. It took him 7 years to get out of debt and repair his credit. But he's as passionate today as I am about teaching young people financial literacy. So that was December of 92. And that's when I dedicated the rest of my career to financial education and providing tools to people who want to take control of their lives and create financial freedom for themselves and their families. That passion is as strong today as it was in December of 92. Somebody yesterday asked me, "Why are you still doing this?" And I go, "Because it's my destiny." Growing up, my dad would ask me every night, "Sharon, have you added value to someone's life today?" He's been gone for 14 years, but I still ask myself that every night. I am passionate about providing something that I learned from my dad to help others take control of their lives. So fast forward, I was working with the school systems, and I got another phone call. This one was from my husband, and he said, "Sharon," and this was when cell phones that were still attached to the car, and they were about this big. So I'm like driving, holding this suitcase up to my ear, and he says, "I met a guy today who has what you've been looking for." Now, ladies, if your husband called you and said, "I met a man who has what you've been looking for," I still remember, it's like when you know those dates, you know where you are. I still remember where I was. I'm going, "Okay, honey, tell me more." And he'd had a guy walk. My husband is a well-known intellectual property attorney, so he helps people to protect their ideas. And he had a guy walk into his office with an idea for a financial board game. This is what it looked like. Now, how many of you could draw this? Come on. It's not tough. You could draw this, right? Nothing special. It was the ideas behind it. So I met Robert Kiyosaki at the first beta test for Cashflow Game, and I fell in love with the philosophy because it was what I was teaching, the importance of buying, building, and creating assets, and the importance of being in control of your own financial destiny. And so I volunteered, because of my background with the talking books and games, to help him commercialize the game. And how many of you are familiar with the Cashflow Game? Let me see. Quite a few of you. Wonderful. Yeah, super. This was back in 1996. And during this process, I was just, being a friend, helping him get it done. He told me he wanted to charge $200 for the, and this was back in 97. I'm going, that's a little pricey for a board game. The value of the education is priceless. But I said, maybe we should write a brochure that shares the philosophy, so that people understand what the game teaches. And so we agreed to write a brochure together. We became partners. This was 1997. And that brochure was a little book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad. We had no clue what would happen with the book. We thought we were writing one book to sell the game. We thought we were a game company. And the world said, "Oh, no, no, Sharon. You're not Cashflow. You're Rich Dad." And so this little brochure, 101 countries later, 51 languages, took the world by storm, and we ended up writing 15 books together and hit the global empire. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this was, believe it or not, before the internet. Even more unbelievable, this was before Amazon. The old-fashioned way. But how did it get spread? From people talking to other people, from sharing what the value they receive. When I still today, people come up, oh, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, I love it. I always ask, well, how'd you first hear about it? My friend, my parents, that's what they're talking to you about this book. The ability for it to be shared and open the conversation, starting the dialogue. People fear money. Anything you can do to make it more fun, like they've done in this book, to make it less threatening, less intimidating, gives you that opportunity. And so I thought Rich Dad was my legacy. But in 2007, after 10 years, we were partners in the company. My partner wanted to go into franchising. I didn't believe in it. It wasn't a good model for the franchisees. So I made the decision to leave Rich Dad. And it was, you know, I never looked back. It was the right decision to make. But you see, sometimes you have to close one door for other doors to open. So I'm challenging you. Are there doors in your life that you need to close so that you can open opportunity to be able to expand this business? I didn't know what I was going to do. I thought that, like I said, Rich Dad was my legacy. So there was one Friday night, I was having a good old-fashioned pity party. How many of you have pity parties? Let me see. There's a lot of unhonest people here. And unhonest isn't even a word, dishonest. How many of you have had pity parties? Yeah, all right, yes, they're fun. One Friday night, I was feeling really sorry for myself because I wasn't really sure what was going to go next. And I got a phone call. Phone call. Every phone call can change your life. And it said White House on the caller ID. Now in Arizona, our top florist is the White House. And I said, oh, how nice. Somebody knows I'm kind of in a funk, and they're sending me flowers to cheer me up. Because it did say it on the caller ID, but it was the other White House. And it really did, at that time, show up on the caller ID. So I had the incredible honor to be asked by President Bush to be on the first President Advisor Council for Financial Literacy. Thank you. And for those of you who are not clapping, I also served under Obama, just so you know. But I would not have had that phone call had I still been at Rich Dad. So I challenge you. Is there a door in your life you need to close so other doors of opportunity will open? And so I realized, while I thought my legacy was Rich Dad, somebody upstairs had a few more things in mind for me. This was 07, early 08. We know what happened to the economy. I got another phone call from the Napoleon Hill Foundation. How many of you have read Think and Grow Rich? May I see? How many of you have not? It's okay, you can admit it. We have a few that you can buy in the other room, yeah. I read Think and Grow Rich when I was 19, and I didn't realize the impact it would have on my life until I was in my 30s. But it is the quintessential book of success, and it is as valid today as it was the day it was released, and so many of you have read it, I'm not gonna keep going that. But whatever your mind can conceive and believe in, it can achieve. The issue is imagination. You need to conceive, you need to dream, you need to take action. And then live it, the reality. And this call I had was because of the downturn in the economy. Many young people didn't even know who Napoleon Hill was. They'd never heard of Think and Grow Rich. And so the foundation wanted to reinvigorate the teachings of Napoleon Hill. What an incredible honor. But I wouldn't have had that phone call had I still been at Rich Dad. So sometimes you have to take a leap, and I don't say leap of faith, I go a leap with faith, to place yourself in the position of highest potential. Create the opportunity for you to meet new people, network new people. And this started a 10-year relationship, as Tom had mentioned, with The Foundation, my first book, 3 Feet from Gold. And for the, how many of you have read Outwitting the Devil? Can I see? Quite a few of you. This is an incredible book. Napoleon Hill actually wrote it in 1938, and it was hidden for 73 years. And it took him 25 years to write Think and Grow Rich, and he was frustrated when he released it, because he said, even though people know what they're supposed to do to become successful, they don't do it. Anybody squirming in their seats out there? Yeah, busted. And so Outwitting the Devil is how we become our own worst enemy, how we allow fear or lack of forward momentum prevent us from creating the success we deserve. Incredible book. His wife was afraid of the title, forbid it to be published. So it was locked away for 73 years. He died in 1970, she died in the 90s. Her sister died just about 15 years ago. And that's when it came to the foundation. They said, Sharon, we don't know what to do about it. And so I said, I'll read the manuscript. My daughter, who happens to be a minister, said, Mom, I need to pray over you, which was good. Please do every day. And I read the book and it changed my life. So if you've not read it or listened to it, the audiobook, I made them get two different actors for the back and forth with the devil. And he talks, I am Christian, just so you know, and I have Michael Beckwith in the foreword to give me a little bit of cover. In the book, he says, you can believe I'm talking to the real devil or a man-made devil. The issue is, will you derive any benefit from what I share? And boy, will you. Particularly the younger generation, they have seized it and love it. They actually read it, and then they read Think and Grow Rich. And then my fantastic opportunity to write Think and Grow Rich for women, because there were no women in the original Think and Grow Rich. There were no women in business. And I'm particularly excited to talk about it today, just briefly, because this organization is leading the industry in having women and promoting women in the organization. So will all the women in the room stand up? Stay standing, stay standing. All you men that are seated, look around and know who you need to pay attention to, because they're in the lead. Give them a round of applause. And we'll get more estrogen on this stage, right? We're gonna have more women up here, right? And then my most recent book, Success and Something Greater, came out in September. And it's because success means different things to different people. Some of you may just want to be able to have enough money to cover your bills and a little bit for extra. Some people want to be a multimillionaire. Some people want to have enough money to create an endowment for a cause they believe in. And so I share the stories of close to 20 highly successful people and what their definition of success and that something greater is. And I really encourage you, as you are on your journey in creating your own wealth initiative, on the wealth wave, is to have that thought as to what is the something greater for you and your family. Because the more people you help, the greater success you will be. We talk about the personal success equation. I want to share this with you because I want you to write it down and I want you to think about how it applies to you. Passion and talent. My passion actually came, you know, passion, you say, do what you love what you do, right? Well, for me, it came from anger. I was mad that we weren't teaching kids about money in school. And luckily, when I was on the advisory council, we passed a law, Credit Card Act, that 2009, that prevents credit card companies from soliciting kids on college campuses. So, doesn't mean they don't still get cards, but at least now they have to show they can pay it back or they have a co-signer. So that initial predatory piece is gone. Your passion. My passion came from anger. I was mad we weren't teaching kids about money. What's your passion? My talent? my degree in accounting, my background in publishing, and most of us stop there because we think we have to do it on our own. But that's not success. Business is a team sport. That power of association. You are in the right place at the right time. Say it. I am in the right place at the right time. Because this power of association, what you saw this morning, I'm in the back, I'm reading it backwards from the back of the screen. I'm going, wow, this stuff is impressive. What an incredible opportunity to be able to utilize this to help others. And the support, the back office support you're getting. And then that little word, take action. Yesterday, I had a young man come in. I hope he's in the room. Anthony, are you here? Wave, wave, wave. In the back. Everybody look back here. Okay, he came in. He was, we have a board game that I created for teenagers. He said, oh gosh, I want that. We don't have that many with us. And I looked at him and I said, are you an action taker? And he came back and he bought it. So round of applause for Anthony. Anthony would only have been a better story if you were in the front row, but that's okay. He's back there with his baby, so that's okay. Action takers, are you taking action? You know, that power of association, I'm going to step back because I just want to acknowledge, I'm here because of the power of association. I was at a Think and Grow Rich legacy event and had the opportunity of meeting Brian Lindner and Brahman Osborne. Where are you? Are you in here? Where are you, Stan? There you go. There we go. They are why I'm here. They made the introduction, had an incredible opportunity to visit with Tom and his team. That power of association. Do you need to expand your network? Because that's going to open more doors of opportunity to you. And then the last element, besides taking action, and the reason is having faith. Faith in yourself. Faith that what you're doing is needed and necessary. Faith that you can accomplish anything you set out to. But most of us, and some of you in this room, that F is fear. And it should be it's a minus, not a plus. Play full out. See the people that are taking action. I know when I talk to people that they're excited, they want to do something, and it's like, we'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. You heard on my intro, when it comes to money, you're either a master of money or a slave. When you are in front of people that you want to help, many of them are so fearful they can't hear. And where does that fear come from? What did your parents say about money? You can shout it out, maybe I can hear you. Money doesn't grow on trees. We can't afford it. Pinch your pennies. And a few of you that are old like me, who do you think we are, the Rockefellers? Most of you have not heard that one. And what do all those things have in common? They're negative. So you grow up money negative, money negative, money negative, money negative. No wonder we grow up with this idea that we live in a world of scarcity instead of abundance. I believe we live in a world of abundance. How about you? But it's when you can have that opportunity to look at that and realize that something in your subconscious that's triggering that fear, you can start to release it. I have young people that are getting married go out and have a money date to talk about how their parents think about money, because it usually is hysterical when they start realizing where some of their thought processes have come. Get rid of the fear. How many of you have read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, may I see? Oh, wow, quite a few of you. All right. So in that book, I talk a little bit about money, and my accounting lessons don't have numbers, so don't panic, no heart attacks. This is financial statements, okay? Income statement on the top, balance sheet on the bottom. So when we get our first part-time job, we get our money and it comes in and out, in and out, in and out. We hope we have enough money to pay our bills at the end of the month, right? Then we fall in love and we have two incomes, yes. So we have a bigger house, an extra car, big screen TV. All of a sudden we have double income, double expenses, and now debts. This is how the world tells us to operate. What's empty? That was so weak. What's empty?
Assets.
Yes! Ooh, I got goosebumps. Okay. Assets. Say it again. Assets. It is the sexiest word on earth. It is by far my favorite word on earth. Say it again. Say it sexy. Assets. You're in the business of helping people build assets. Get goosebumps. Yes, assets. That is your business. And we go through life and we make money. We're working for our boss. You're supposed to make them rich. We're having to pay our government, our expenses. We're having to pay our bank or our credit union for all those liabilities. And I borrowed, this is not my normal vernacular, a little bit from the book. It's going to be hard for me to even say it because it's not. You become a sucker, they become wealthy. All right. It is kind of cute and effective. Round of applause for them. My team said, Sharon, are you really going to say that from a stage? Yes, I did. So, at the end of the day, your asset column is your business. You are financially free when the income from your assets exceeds your monthly expenses. That means your money is working for you. You are not working for your money. And that's where we have the pleasure of seeing the systems that you've created to help people get that message and get the education that they need to succeed. Because the cash flow from the assets are a beautiful thing. Now, as I mentioned earlier, my husband and I have been married for 40 years. And when we first met, yes, thank you, I appreciate that. he wanted a survival property. Anybody out there want survival properties? Yeah. So we found this, we were looking for it, and we found this place in Arizona. We both fell in love with it. We were looking for 10 acres, and this is 300 plus 40,000 grazing rights. So we kind of fell in love with it. CherryCreekLodge.com, you're all welcome to come visit us. But I told my husband, I said, you know, I have to practice what I preach, honey. So you see cows. We have 400 head of Black Angus cattle. You see cows, what do I see? Assets. Those little mamas give me a baby every year, right? So I share this with you. Then we built the lodge so that people can, it's a bed and breakfast, you can come stay there. We've got hunting and we've got shooting and we've got fishing and relaxing with a glass of wine, my favorite part. But is there something that you have in your life that you can turn into an income-producing asset? Ask yourself how you can do that. We have business retreats. It's a lot of fun. So Cherry Creek Lodge. But understanding where your money comes from is a very big first step in planning how you're going to go and where you're coming from. The left side of the cash flow quadrant, those of you that may have seen this in my second book in the Rich Dad series, is what school teaches us. Employee, self-employed. You exchanging your time for money. That's what I was doing in Atlanta. I was working 80 to 100 hours a week, exhausted. I was getting paid a salary. That made no sense. And I realized to get to the right side, I needed a different education. And that financial education is what you're getting through WealthWave. Becoming a business owner. Having the opportunity to have other people work with you and for you. Having systems that support you. And I am so impressed with what I've seen. It's fantastic. How about a round of applause for WealthWave and Tom? because they have created the assets that you get to leverage. Happens to be my next favorite word, leverage. Say leverage.
Leverage.
Yeah, you don't have to do this all on your own. It's done for you. You just need to employ it. What a beautiful thing. I had to build it all from scratch. This is fantastic. You have every opportunity. Now, I stand before you. I still make money from all four quadrants. I'm an employee of my own corporation. I get paid to speak. But the vast majority of our income comes from the businesses we own and the investments we've made. I'm 66. I just turned 66. Yeah. But we've been financially free since I was 45. I want that same thing for you. Maybe 35. It would work, right? But what kind of assets, when we drill down? Businesses, which you all have started as you're part of this organization. Paper assets, which is what you provide to help people with. Retirement savings, of course. Real estate. And intellectual property. You have access to all of that through WealthWave. The intellectual property that they've created for you is highly impressive and will help you help people get through that fear to see what they can do. Small steps, little wins. Because successful businesses do one of two things. They solve a problem and serve a need. You think we have a few problems?
Yes.
Think a few needs? Yeah. As well as we are doing in our economy, which is fantastic, as low as our unemployment rate is, which is fantastic, we still have a lot of people who are struggling. And the focus of WealthWave is incredible. This organization, you know, a lot of banks and other investment advisors, they won't even touch you if you don't have millions of dollars to put in their under their control. You're there to serve the people who need it most. So give yourselves a round of applause. So as Where Rich Dad was launched in 1997 and created the world's largest personal finance brand, and it was the entry point for us bringing people into our programs, our coaching and seminars. It was truly the brochure that we sold. You know, getting Oprah to invite us on her show was pretty fun too. And then it's still selling well. But again, it was just the education, the trigger. What you provide with that same entry point with this new book is the opportunity not only open the door for conversation, but to provide them the resources and the solutions to help them get to where they want to go. And I love the conversation they just had about, you know, how to hand it out. I tell all of my clients, when I teach them about the elevator pitch, I said, there's one goal, just one goal in an elevator pitch or introducing the game, is to hear them say three words. Tell me more. So to say it right now, tell me more. Pretty sweet language, because then you know you have them engaged and interested. And that's the beauty of this. It's not just you eyeball to eyeball. You have a tool that shows them that's non-threatening. It can help them get through that fear. Because 74% of employees still live paycheck to paycheck. As good as our economy is, this just breaks my heart. In another survey, this was from PwC, 60% of employees say that their number one frustration, fear, and stress is money. So while this is horrible, it's also a wonderful opportunity for you. You know, they were talking about, you know, getting the book in one-to-one. Well, you have small employers in your hometown that can bring you in and help their employees. You now have the facts and the figures to show them that their employees are not engaged at work. They have higher absentee rates because they are frustrated about money. You can increase the level of engagement, increase the ROI for those companies if they bring financial wellness into their employees. But what gets in our way? And this is for you or for the people that you work with. A lot of it is lack of focus. It was either last night or this morning I saw somebody talking about Gary Keller's book, The One, right? The One Thing. Power of focus. Lack of that passion and motivation. And if that's not there, so for me, because I am passionate about helping people, and I drive myself with my father's gift of, have you added value to someone's life today, Sharon? Every morning I say, what problem do I solve? What need do I serve? And that gives me the motivation to keep going. And remember that you're providing a service. Wrong associations. So many times we surround ourselves with people who are not pushing us forward. And sometimes it's our own family. You got into this, you're energetic, you're going, and the people closest to you are kind of like starting to nitpick at you. Why are you doing that? You should be doing something else. And sometimes it's our family. But take a moment and say, okay, wait, they're not really criticizing me. They just see that I'm doing something constructive and they're not. They feel bad about themselves and they're trying to criticize you. Because as soon as you start having success, they're gonna be your biggest cheerleaders. And then they're gonna ask you for a loan, guaranteed. Yeah, I see a few heads going, yeah, you've had that experience. Bad habits. I have a few. Any of you have bad habits out there? Yeah. And it's what you've got here are tools, incredible tools to help you establish those new habits. But fear, without a doubt, fear and the lack of faith in yourself is one of the worst things. We have that little devil on our shoulder that says, you're not worthy. Happens to me all the time. You're not good enough. You're not an expert. Even though you just told me you are the expert. A few of you probably said, oh, I don't feel like it. Just keep working, you are. Easy for her to say, right? I'm sure a few of you said that already. But I shared with you, I lived in a little tiny house between a beauty shop and a car lot. I scrubbed out toilets. I wasn't always here. You have every opportunity to create the life you want. And then, of course, my most favorite one these days is you are too old. You are never too old. I have a new program I'll talk about in a minute called Refire, because I wanted to start reinvigorating my life. And in your business, you know, you have a lot of objections from people, and they kind of come into very different categories. They might say, I don't need it, lack of urgency, lack of trust, lack of money. Probably most everything you get is probably in one of those. And this is where you need to engage in an element of, do you sell or do you serve? When you sell, it is a transaction. It is a one-time transaction. When you serve, you create a relationship. And that relationship will generate a lifetime of transactions. So ask yourself, are you in a position of service or selling? Because when you are serving your clients, they're going to be your best marketing machine. They're going to tell all their friends about their experience, and you're going to be able to bring so many more people the financial tools and education that they need. That's service. You notice I didn't say you'll sell a lot more insurance. You'll bring the tools and resources that they need to improve their life. And that's by listening to what they say. Because typically, what's coming out of their mouth is maybe not necessarily the right problem. But let them know that you understand, respond, and confirm with them. Because it might not be the right time, but if you leave them with a feeling of you're there in service, you may actually get a call back the following week when they've had a chance to digest it. And it will be even more beneficial if this is what you leave behind, because there's a tool for them to start looking and seeing what you can do to support them. Serving, not selling. That's what builds the trust. And as I said earlier, People want to do business with people they know, like, and trust. Now, many of you might want work-life balance. How many of you want work-life balance? Well, I'm going to blow that. So everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. I want everybody to stand with your feet shoulder-width apart. Try not to hit your neighbor. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to be balanced. Did you feel the energy drop in the room? Now look at me. Start back and forth, arms, smile. All right, look at your neighbor. All right, feel the energy up. We are never balanced. The only place balance belongs is in the yoga studio, right? Thank you. People spend so much time worrying about work-life balance that you lose precious time today worried about something that happened yesterday. How many worriers in the room, may I see, if you're gonna admit it? I need to hold up both hands. I'm a champion worrier, yeah, all right. So 10 years ago, I found this definition, and I share it in every talk I give. And it's one of the most impactful things I get back from people. To worry is to pray for what you do not want. To worry is to pray for what you do not want. So now, I still get, I call my own personal rototiller, you know, when I get worried. And so now when I catch myself in that worry syndrome, I stop. Kind of like one of the Tony Robbins triggers. I go, okay, Sharon, stop thinking about the negative outcome. Reframe and focus on what I do want to have happen. And it's magic. It also helps you build your self-confidence. People always say, Sharon, are you nervous getting on stage? You know, they expect me to say, nah. I said, yes. I said, when I stop being nervous, I should stop doing it. Because my nervousness gives me excess energy. It's my desire, my passion to say something that's going to impact you or you or you. Because if I'm not impacting you, then I shouldn't be here. And so it's okay to be anxious. Just transform it into energy to help you be more passionate about what you do. And so I tell people, focus on having one big life, because you're in the business to help people realize their dreams. And it's not just work life. You have your spiritual life. You have your financial life. You have your health. All of those work together to create quality of life. And so focus on one big life instead of work-life balance. This is actually a chapter that I have in the Think and Grow Rich for Women book that was the one chapter that was not in the original Think and Grow Rich. We need to change the dialogue with people to understand that we have the resource and the tools to create whatever we want. It has never been easier to start a business. It has never been easier to promote a business. But yeah, there's a lot of chaos and there's a lot of noise. So to be successful, you need the right systems in place that allow you to nurture those customers. And I'm here to tell you from what I've seen, you have grade A systems ready to turn on to support you in building your businesses. So one more round of applause. So I started to tell you that I had this Refire program. So I want to share with you, how many of you have had something in your life that has stopped you in your tracks? You know, whether it be a death or a divorce or a financial setback. We all have, it's human, right? Well, 7 years ago, I lost my youngest son. We are not supposed to outlive our children. So I had been, as I shared with you in my story, I played big all my life. Disney's, Warner Brothers, you know, Time Life, Oprah. That's how I operated. How can I make the biggest impact by reaching the greatest number of people? Well, when I lost my son, I kind of went into autopilot, neutral, or numb. Anybody ever been there? You don't have to admit it if you don't want to. And about a couple of years into this, I was still working plenty, but I didn't have the highs. I just had a bunch of lows. And I would get the adrenaline going and do what I needed to do. A couple of years ago, I decided that maybe I should retire because I just didn't have the passion. I got a lot of pushback from my family and friends, and a few of you probably. And I think I even got a little pushback from my son. I could hear him saying, "Get over it, Mom. There's more for you to do. There is more for you to do. You have the tools. There are people out there who need what you need." And that's when I decided to get back in the game and play big again. I launched a Facebook group called Play Big Movement with Sharon Lecter. It's free. You're all welcome to join. But my goal is to help people play a bigger game. And it's through that power of association, being able to get the greatest impact. The Play Big Movement is about being an expert, being number one in your field, which you already got that. Living your legacy, because your legacy is created with every heart you touch every day. It's not when you're gone. It's what you're doing today, every day. And then creating maximum impact. And I can see the wealth wave is just taking over in a very positive way. So the impact is there, yes. All right, there you go. Come on. So I want you to think about your personal success equation. You already got a very powerful association with WealthWave. But who else do you need to bring to your team? What other resource can you find that you can spread your service to them? And as you serve them, the sales will come. Power of association is huge. And as I said, that's how I got here. The power of association. And now you have a tool. The book is a tool for you to give to the owner of a company and say, you know, I'd love to come share this with your team. They need it. The facts are there. When I made the decision to refire and play big again, remember I started off by saying sometimes you have to close a door for other doors to open, right? And boy, did they for me. Well, I had closed a door of playing big because I was suffering. And I still miss my son every day. But when I made that decision that there was more for me to do, say there's more for me to do. No matter what your age, there's more for you to do. And once I made that decision, things started happening for me. Because I allowed myself to be open to the possibility. Put yourself in the place of highest potential. I was able to share the stage with many of my friends. Grant Cardone reached out to me. We did a, oh, there's same jacket, there we go. Okay, yay, same, there we go. And February 22nd, I'm excited. I've been asked and I filmed a segment for the world's greatest motivators. So you can put it on your calendars and DVR it. It's very cool. I'm with my friends Lisa Nichols and Les Brown and Jack Canfield and John Assaraf. There's 13 of us that they did a series on. So it's very exciting. That would never have happened for me had I not made that decision to get back in the game. Every one of you has the opportunity to play, I'm not saying get back in the game because you're already in it, but to play a bigger game. And the tools you have been shown to you today. But your personal success equation may be held back because of lack of faith in yourself. That faith might be fear. So I have something, a gift I'd like to give you if you are interested. I've created a document that will take you through your personal success equation and help trigger your thoughts on how to make the most of your current network, and how to grow your network, but also how to faith in yourself. If you're feeling down, surround yourself with people who love you and want you. The associations that you have within this organization, they can keep you going on fuel. I've loved every one of you that's come to me. I'm across the hall. Would love to meet each of you individually because you are absolutely incredible. I want you to succeed. That's my goal in life. If there's anything that I can do to support you, just ask. We're here to serve you. Everyone on this stage is here to serve you. So I'd like to go back to this whole thing of faith. I'd like everybody to stand up again. There's a professor from Harvard. She's now an adjunct professor, Amy Cuddy. And she did a series on power posing. One of her co-researchers actually caused her to be discredited for a little bit, but now she's reproven the fact that it's true. So I am gender neutral, so you can each select whether you want to be Superman or Wonder Woman. Try not to elbow your neighbor, kind of like windmill, but everybody assume the position, please. All right. Now, if you're not doing this, I want to challenge you and ask you why not. All right, because the research has shown that this, if you do this for 2 minutes, you will physically change your attitude. You will physically improve your self-confidence. And I believe it to be so, so true. When I'm talking to people on the phone, I stand up because it gives you more power. When I'm doing radio interviews, I stand up. When I have people calling out for me, I have this sign on their thing saying, smile, all right? This position, 2 minutes. Now, if you have a very important client you want to go meet and it's just not that great a day, do this. I did it this morning. I want to make sure I'm as powerful as I could be, all right? Now, and depending on where you are, if you're a little uncomfortable, you could actually go into the bathroom stall if you feel like you needed to, but doing this for 2 minutes, do you feel any better? You feel better? Well, sometimes it's just not enough. So I've taken it to the next level. I don't know how many marathon runners we have in the room. I am not one. But imagine yourself being the first one, the winner of a 26-mile marathon. No matter what country you're in, no matter what language they speak, they all do the same thing, right? Come on, everybody, hands up, big old smile, you're the winner, you're going through that ribbon, right? Yes, hold this for 2 minutes, yes, yes, yes. This is exactly what you need to prove that you are getting the energy, you're improving your self-confidence, you're improving that faith in yourself. Come on, I need some smiles, there you go, big smiles, I wanna see teeth. Look at your neighbor. Yes, 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 yes. And you are all winners in my book, in your book, and in WealthWave's book.
Thank you for tuning in to Leadership Now, WealthWave's official podcast. If you like this episode and want to hear more, check out wealthwave.com/podcast or Leadership Now on iTunes. Join us each week to grow as an entrepreneur and succeed as a leader in the financial business with WealthWave.